Living Hope Assembly of God.
I am excited that you are here this morning. 2 weeks or so ago, we started talking about the walk of a champion, and we're going to finish the second part of that today. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I promise you I'm not going to hold you until after 2 o'clock or so, and I promise you. 159. 159, so we'll get you there. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read verse 16 through 26 again. 16 through 26. Let me know when you're there. Chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are revealed, which are these: adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lewdness, adultery, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I just want to stop right there for a moment. This is not an exhausted list. These are just a few that Paul brings out, and so is true with what I'm about to read about the fruit. It's not the fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit. What that tells us this morning, the fruit of the Spirit is something that the believer is made up of altogether. You need not to just have one, but you need to possess the entirety of the fruit as being believers. So I want you to understand that this morning. He goes on to say, I warn you, as I previously warned you, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I want to stop right there again. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. What did Paul say? Those that who do such things, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean, preacher? That means that when you willfully practice sinful things, knowing that you're doing this thing, and it's you're willfully doing it, and saying, I don't care. Really, what you're saying is, I don't care what anybody thinks or what anybody has to say about it. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. That person shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Did I say that? No, Paul said that. We stand on God's word. And so as believers, guys, when we approach God's word, it's like looking in the mirror. You know, we have to take inventory of ourselves. And even when we look in that mirror, so that we won't, when we walk away, so many of us quickly forget what we look like. Listen, when we look in that mirror, guys, we have to take inventory and fix the things that Scripture reveals in our life. I don't know about you, there are times and there are times that we struggle, and there are things that we struggle with. And that the Word of God is that mirror that shows us those things that we need to work on. So some of us like to stay in dull places in life, and we like to look in dull mirrors where we don't really see ourselves the way that we truly are. Listen, to be vulnerable and to realize who we are is actually not a weakness, it's a strength. See, it's a weapon in your hand, because that way you know you could fix whatever's wrong in your life. And that's really what Sister Kate was singing about today. And that's really what drove me to the altar, because I knew I wanted to take inventory of my life and line my life up with the Word of God. Can I tell you this morning, if you're truly and if I am truly in love with God, I will line my life up with the Word of God instead of trying to line God's Word up with my life. Does that make sense? We want to pick and choose, tear out Scripture, make up things and eisegete the scripture, add to God's word instead of exegeting the scripture and applying God's word to our lives. Listen, if it's the same for you, it's the same for me. Am I preaching this morning? I hadn't even gotten into the text. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. If I have said it before, I'm saying it again. We are our own worst enemies at times. Listen, sometimes we blame the devil for being a stumbling block in God's house and in our own homes and in our own personal lives, but sometimes we are our own worst enemy. I want to ask you something this morning. Through my reading this morning, did Paul mention the devil? No, Paul is talking about individuals taking inventory of themselves and a corporate body taking inventory of itself and saying to itself, we need to get rid of those things that are going to hinder us from being what God has called us to be. Listen, if you want to go into 2017 victorious, you need to go into 2017 realizing that you cannot do anything without God but fail. Listen, we need a church. We need to be a church that has total dependency upon God and not ourselves. And when we do overcome, we don't need to make a trophy out of it and place it on the shelf and say, look at what I attained. If we do, we need to say it is by the grace of God that I overcame this obstacle. And it's going to take the grace of God that's going to keep me from repeating the very thing that God delivered me from. Here in verse 5, look with me in verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. This morning, I want to let you know that it's a mindset. Where's your mind this morning? Where's your focus this morning? I want you to understand that the walk of a champion is one of faith. Did you hear me this morning? It's one of faith. God told Abraham in Genesis 12 and 1, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you at first. I want you to understand, God did not tell Abraham where he would lead him. In spite of God not saying where he was going to lead Abraham, Abraham still, at that moment, had a complete dependency on God. The walk of a champion is one that understands that their purpose will be defined by their destiny. Did you hear me this morning? The walk of a champion will not allow you to lose focus by setting your eyes on unnecessary things that would hinder you from reaching your goal. My question to you this morning is, what in your life that would hinder you from being and doing everything that God has called you to be? I know we could look outwardly and say there may be people, there are some people, guys, listen, that we just might need to get out of our lives because they are not conducive or helping us to produce and be everything that God has called us to do and be in this life. There are places that some of us need to not go. There are some things that we need to not entertain if we want to be successful in the kingdom of God. Listen, the devil is subtle. He doesn't have to jump out from behind a bush and say, rah, 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 I'm the devil. Can't you smell the smoke? He's subtle. He places little things in your life and leads you to little places that seem innocent on the surface. Luke tells us in his gospel that it came to pass when the time was come that he, Jesus, referring to Jesus, should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He did not allow anything to come between him and his destiny. His destiny was the cross. He set his face like flint. He was focused. When you understand your destiny, when you accept the purposes in life, when you know who you are in Christ, you will not allow any outward thing nor any inward thing to hinder you from getting to that place in God here on this earth, nor in the life to come. The walk of a champion is one of determination. Too many times we quit right before our breakthrough. Do you hear me this morning? In verse 9, he says, "You, however, are not of the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God lives in you, now any man does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." Paul simply said, listen, this is not true of you. He's talking to believers. This is not true of you. What Paul is saying is that there's no way, shape, form, or fashion that we should be living like the world, because this is not true of you. This is not who you are, because you know how to live for God. You know the power of the Spirit. You know how to walk in the Spirit. You know how to abstain from the fleshly desires that come up on all of us. And you know how not to succumb to those things. Paul is talking to a body of people who are filled up with the Holy Spirit, and they know better, but some of them were not doing better. Have we ever been at a place when we know better, but we don't do better? The Bible says, for him that know to do good and don't do it, it's sin. So have all of us sinned? Amen. We might as well go ahead and lay it out. We're sinners. We make mistakes. We mess up. Verse 12 and 13, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation or a responsibility, but it is not to the flesh." Somebody say, it is not to the flesh. You have an obligation. We're going to get to it, but it all depends on who you serve. You have a responsibility. A responsibility tells me something that I have to work out. I can't depend on the pastor to do it. I can't depend on the deacon board to do it. I can't depend on the elders to do it. I know church and pastoring and preaching is all good and we need it, but yet and still, after we have heard the word of God, we need to learn how to put it in practice. So there's a responsibility that you and I must take up, and it's going to be called a reading through the Bible year plan throughout the year. Getting God's word down inside of us, and not only getting God's word down inside of us, because I know people that can quote the Bible from front to back, and their lives are messed up. Listen to what Paul says. Live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Did you hear that? Some of us might die physically. I know a young man who just died. He was sloppy drunk, riding down the road, was thrown out of the vehicle. He's dead now. I know I got a friend who died about 20 years. Man, I'm getting old. About 22 years ago, he was with his buddies. And his buddy had a gun. Well, actually, it was his gun, and he was driving a car, 17 years old, one of my best friends. And he told his first cousin had just gotten out of juvenile hall. He emptied the clip out of the gun, but he forgot to take the one out of the chamber. And his first cousin had just got out of jail that he loved dearly. He told him, he said, they were joking. He said, "Man, I'll shoot you," and this and that. He said, shoot me then, thinking that the gun was empty. The guy put the gun up to his head, pow, blew his brains out. He's dead now. So Sin will kill you physically. That's why some people who smoke themselves to death, drink themselves to death, eat themselves to death, worry themselves to death. Do you hear me, church? You will die, Paul said. But if by the Spirit, somebody say, if by the Spirit. I love that one word, but. But if, so that means I have a chance. I have an option here. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So the responsibility that I have as a believer who does sinful things at times, I need to crucify the flesh. It feels good to sin, guys. Listen, it feels good to sin. Amen? But that doesn't, it feels good, it tastes good to eat a juicy hamburger, but if I ate hamburgers every day, I'd probably die from high cholesterol. So Paul said that it's our responsibility to choose sin, which is the flesh, to walk in the flesh, or to choose the Spirit in life and to walk in the Spirit. That's some harsh language. What does he mean by death? Turn with me to Romans 6 and 23 with my runny nose. This is Paul speaking again. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Last week we talked about being in Christ Jesus. So many people like to misuse that scripture whenever they want to condone a lifestyle, but we know being in Christ Jesus causes the believer to be an overcomer because Christ hates sin. God hates sin. And so when we are in Christ Jesus, it causes us to be aware of how we are living, and it challenges us to change from where we are in that state of sin and do a reverse effect called repentance and turn and go in the other direction. Listen, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, you have to deny yourself. Jesus made it really hard for those guys that said they wanted to follow him. How in the world, if I was trying to convince someone to follow me, and they say, Charles, I want to follow you wherever you go. Well, dude, listen, I don't have a car. We're going to have to throw walking. Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Do you still want to be my disciple? Do you hear me? It's called denying yourself. This death process that Paul is talking about, it's a spiritual death. I wonder how many people inside of the church are spiritually dead and not even know it. I wonder how many times or how many people are in the church and the Holy Spirit left them some time ago and they not even know it. That's a scary place to be. And on down through our text this morning, if we have time, we're going to talk about some people that walked in those shoes for a moment in their life. Where is the victory found? Victory in Christ Jesus is where the victory is found. Death is found in sin. Where then does sin reign? Sin reigns in our flesh. Do you hear me, church? That's why Paul is adamant about us crucifying the flesh. If we would all be honest this morning, there are times of victory and there are times of defeat. There are times that we feel like that we have kept all the rules and made all the right decisions. And there are those times that we feel like a failure. Could it be a life in the spirit or the walk of a champion has nothing to do with keeping the rules more than it has to do with being in an intimate relationship with the one who created us anew in Christ Jesus? And I want you to understand that I'm quoting right now, actually, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to say it again. The walk of a champion has nothing to do with keeping the rules, more than it has to do with being in an intimate relationship with the one who created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do. Somebody say, so we can do. Those who walk in the Spirit, so we can do the things He planned for us long ago. Because you have the Holy Spirit, you are without excuse. I am without excuse because the Holy Spirit has enabled us to do the things that we can't do on our own. And so we don't have a right to throw a pity party. We don't have a right to keep stumbling over the same things over and over and over and over again, because the Spirit of God, which raised Christ from the dead, lives inside of you and I, so we are automatically victorious. And the church said, amen. Amen. Now let's walk in it. Here in Galatians 5 and 22 through 23, Paul gives us one of the greatest views concerning the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. Paul makes it clear that we will either be conquered by the flesh or we will be champions who walk in the Spirit. Those of us who are conquered by the flesh will produce fruit that destroys. And those of us who are champions of the Spirit will produce fruit that brings life. In verse 19, Paul says that the works of the flesh are obvious. I want you to notice that. Or in my Bible, in the MEV version, it says that the works of the flesh are revealed. But I like the word obvious better, so let's go with obvious for a moment. Meaning there is a great distinction between those who are living for God and those who are not. And those who does not walk according to the Spirit. And those that do walk according to the Spirit. He said it's obvious. It is obvious. There's a great distinction, and there should be a great distinction from us and the world. The Bible over and over again says that we're light, not darkness. We're children of the day and not children of the night. Somehow we have been introduced to a twisted gospel that has infiltrated the church and caused us to live what is contrary to the will and plan of God. And the attack has not been solely on us, but the attack has been on the Word of God, where there is truth and where there is life. Can I get an amen this morning? We have to get back to the realization that we are to be polar opposite of the world, and there's no way around it. Jesus, in Matthew 7 and 16, you will know them by their fruit. These are the words of Christ. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorns? Or figs from thistles? If you go in to an apple tree and there are oranges, if you go to an olive tree and it has leaves but no fruit when it's supposed to be producing, our lives, guys. Listen, I want you to understand something this morning. Our lives are supposed to be an example for the world to see. I really think that it hurts the heart of God when we profess something with our mouth and we do something contrary with our actions. If you don't do it for anybody else, do it for Christ. You're representing Him. I'm representing Him. Am I preaching okay this morning? Are we all going to leave and run out this morning and never come back? I hope not. But I want you to understand, guys, listen. God, Christ is building His church, and the gates of hell should not prevail. Listen, if you are a part of His church, the gates of hell should not prevail in your life. in your personal life, in your corporate life, in your marketplace life, in your workplace life, you have victory. The biblical principle, the dividing factor of this passage is that we will produce fruit that identifies with who Christ is. There's no way around it. We are to live at a higher standard from those that do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. Do you hear me? In time, those who are walking in the flesh will show what is really going on in their heart, unlike the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit produced by the flesh are, in essence, wax fruit, which look good on the outside, but are worthless in value. The spiritual battle that we are facing is a battle of the whole person, our mind, our body, and spirit. The struggle is whether we would give into it and yield to sin's control, or whether we would surrender to the Spirit's demands and continue under Christ's authority and control. The person who yields to the flesh will become a prisoner to sin. Period. There's no way around it. I know people right now who profess Christ as their Lord and Savior, but their lives are messed up. And I know life sometimes hands us a bad deck of cards. But can I tell you this morning, it doesn't matter what's in your hand. You don't have to have a poker face. You are victorious. You can reveal your hand, and every one of your cards need to say Christ Jesus on them. Do you hear me this morning, church? Romans 6 and 18 tells us, now you are free from the slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. When you are a slave to something, you don't have any say-so. I don't have any say-so. When Christ became Lord of our lives, we gave up all of our rights, and we say, whatever you want to do, that's what I want for my life. We, as a slave, as him being Lord, we don't even have an option to speak. Because he knows what is best for us. The main culprit that causes us to remain victims instead of victors is temptation. Somebody say temptation. How many of us deal with temptation? Even the guy on VeggieTales dealt with temptation. Temptation is the act of being enticed or allured to do something often regarded as unwise, wrong, or immoral. And if we were all honest this morning, we will admit that we have fallen prey to temptation. We have on purpose given in to the sinful desires of the flesh. And like a little birdie who is trapped by the fowler, we are taken prisoner. In this instance, we are no longer champions. We are no longer leading and living a life of victory, but we are now living and leading a life of defeat. In Psalm 91, the fowler is patient, and he knows that if he lay out the right bait at the right time, eventually the fowl will become familiar with the unfamiliar and not even notice that the unfamiliar thing in its life is only a trap set up to take it prisoner. Do you hear me this morning? So when we are allured to do something wrong, immoral, or unwise, we are being tempted. Why is a temptation alluring or enticing? If it was something that we didn't like, would it be a temptation? This morning, if I came in here and I held out a marijuana cigarette and said, here, smoke it. You'll probably say, dude, you're crazy. Get out of here. Get out of town with that. Are you crazy? I live for Jesus. But if I said, I'll give you $1 million to smoke this marijuana cigarette, what would we do? No. I hope all of us would say no. I don't want any of it. Meet me down the street somewhere away from everybody that knows me. No, what we should do and the right thing to do is reject it. But it makes it that much harder. When and that's how the enemy is. He entices us. He gives us things that are tempting. And when you look at the analogy of the eagle and the fowler has the bait and he has the trap, and eventually they get closer to each other, to the point where the eagle at so many miles high in the sky can see something within the range of his territory, and he can see when something is out of place and unfamiliar. But after a period of time, the fowler knows that if he can wait long enough, that thing that is unfamiliar to the eagle will become familiar, and the next thing you know, the very bait is up under the trap, and the eagle, through a course of time, begins to see that the bait is so familiar to him, and the trap is so far away. But through the course of time, it's moved closer and closer and closer and closer, to the point where the trap is over the bait. But the eagle, during this course of time, has gotten closer to the bait, and to the point where he's so familiar with the bait that he pecks at it. Not too bad. I think I kind of like it. So I'm going to start eating it. And before the eagle knows it, the trap, temptation. People of God, this morning, I want you to know the enemy of our soul is patiently watching the patterns of our lives in hopes of prancing on us and destroying the evidence of God in our lives. Do you hear me? In fact, 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober and watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When I think of a champion, I think of David, I think of Samson, I think of Solomon. They instantly come to my mind. The Bible tells us that David, as a child, slayed a bear and a lion with his bare hands when they attempted to kill his sheep. He is the same young man that slayed the giant Goliath with a stone. He is the same person who led a mighty army and was king over one of Israel's greatest kingdoms. And King David's name still lives today. The scripture says Samson was a mighty man of war. He led Israel as a judge. He was a man with unmeasurable strength and ability. The Bible says in Judges 15:16, then Samson said with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps with the jawbone of a donkey, I have killed 1,000 men. Solomon was a man of supernatural wisdom and wealth. To this day, he's still considered by many to be the richest man to ever have lived. These three have at least four things in common. All three were champions in their own right. Will we agree on that? All three were called and used by God. We agree on that. All three of them had fallen victim to the desires of the flesh along the way. All three recognized their need for God. Do you hear me this morning? During his time of spiritual anguish, David found himself in his prayer chamber crying out to God. When we read Psalm 51, we love that psalm because it shows someone who is broken. It shows someone who is repentant. And I want you to hear a couple verses, Psalm 51:1-10-12. It says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Solomon, at the end of his life, coined the phrase in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now all has been been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the duty of all mankind. At the end of Samson's life, the Bible says in Judges chapter 16, starting at the 23rd verse, the Philistine rulers gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, they said, "Our God has given us Samson, our enemy, into our hands." Verse 24 goes on to say, "The people saw him and praised their God, for they said, 'Our God has given into our hands our enemy, the one who ruined our land and killed many of us.' When their hearts were merry, they said, 'Call for Samson so he can entertain us.' So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them. They placed him between the pillars. Samson said to the young man who held his hand," I don't know about you, but there are times in my life that I need somebody to hold my hand. And if anybody's going to hold my hand in this life, I want it to be Jesus. As I walk through the tears and the trials and the toils of life, I want Jesus to hold my hand. When I fall on my face and I feel like I can't get up and life has dealt me a bunch of injustices, I want Jesus to hold my hand and lift me up and say, "You wayward sinner, get on your feet. I love you." And he envelops you in his love and in his grace and in his mercy. I don't know about you, church, this morning, but I need the love of God. Samson goes on to say, "Let me rest and touch the pillars on which the temple is set. Then I can lean against them." The temple was full of men and women, and all the Philistine rulers were there. There were about 3,000 men, women on the roof watching Samson entertain. Samson called out to the Lord. Somebody say, when times get desperate, call out to the Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God for the 10 lepers in the Bible, because they had sense enough to call out to Jesus and say, "Master, save me." Listen, the believer understands that, listen, more than it's about keeping some rules, Jason, it's knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, that you are a son of the King, that you are a child of God, in spite of what the enemy has to say. Now I say with Paul, Romans 8:1, now there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord God, remember me, I pray. We get so far away from God, we have to say, "God, remember me." What did the sinner say on the cross next to Jesus? "Please strengthen me just this once, God, so that I may get full revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson grasped the two metal pillars on which the temple was set and leaned against them, one with his right hand and one with his left. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." He pushed with all of his strength, and the temple fell upon the rulers and all the people who were in it. At his death, he killed more than he had killed in his life. Before you are tempted by something, you have the freedom and liberty to choose. Samson, David, and Solomon had the freedom to choose. Once you yield to the temptation, you sin and immediately give up sacrifice your freedom and liberty and exchange it for the captivity and addiction of the sin, and bring upon you the consequences attached to that sin. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there's no temptation that has taken us except what is common to man. God is faithful, and he would not permit you to be tempted above that which you can endure. But with the temptation, he will also make a way for you to escape it or to be able to endure it. In our closing this morning, I want to go ahead and get ready to close this thing out this morning. Paul here in Galatians 5:22-23 makes it clear makes a clear contrast between the lifestyle of the Spirit-filled follower of Christ who have God's Spirit living in them and that of the one who's controlled by their sinful nature. I want you to hear this, guys. According to Paul, the walk of a champion is one that displays love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Do you hear me? The fruit of the Spirit. We don't get to pick and choose. It's the whole of who we are. Do you hear me, church? Paul's greatest fear was that the Galatians would fall back into the old mindset of living life by walking in the flesh, going back to their old nature and old way of living. The enemy's desire is that we walk away this morning defeated instead of victorious. Some of us have walked in here defeated, and I am telling you this morning that God has a perfect plan for your life. In order to get it, you must be willing to take the walk of a champion. Are you ready? I know we are a small crowd here this morning. It's not about being a small crowd. It's not about being a big crowd and doing what seems to be impressive. But it's about taking inventory right now. If we were preaching to one, or if we were preaching to 1,000. It's about taking inventory. This morning, God is saying, in order to have the walk of a champion, we must learn to walk away from the things that paralyzes us spiritually and enable us and make us unable to walk in the ways of the Lord. Some of us are spiritually paralyzed. And we wonder why we can't get over certain things. Can you imagine, and I'm closing with this for real. Can you imagine being Samson, having all of that strength? When he got ready to go out to battle, can you imagine how intimidating he was? He would go out, and he would shake himself. And the enemy knew, boy, that's a bad dude right there. Did you hear about what he did over here? And he would shake himself. But one morning he went out. He shook himself. There was no power. I wonder how many times have some of us gone out, shook ourselves, and we're powerless. One of the key things this morning, will you stand this morning? One of the key things this morning we have to be mindful of is 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. In order to be a champion and possess a walk of a champion this year, we have to learn to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Then he said, I will receive you. There are some things that are going on in our lives this morning. We might as well just be honest and lay it all out. I'm going to move this out of the way. The only thing that would keep, and I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on any of us. Listen, this morning it's a simple altar call. Very simple. All of us have things in our lives. And in this context, Paul was talking about idols. You might as well just admit it today. We all have idols. We all have sinful things that we hold on to. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Anything that we place before God is an idol. Anything. I don't care what it is. Anything. It's an idol. And this morning, this afternoon, I want to give you an opportunity to find a place at your seat or at the altar to lay those things at Jesus' feet so that we could have a successful year as a church, as individuals. And I say this with everything that's in me as a warning, as exhortation, as out of love. This year, God is going to first attempt to move this church forward. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. But we have to participate. Because if he could do it all by himself, this building needs to be empty and we could have slept in today. But in order for God to move this church forward, we have to be led of the Spirit. We can't think fleshly. We can't act fleshly. We go back and read Galatians chapter 5, and God and the Word of God to give us what we should be throughout this year. Are you ready for that? I'm ready for that. This morning, I just want to make a simple altar call. You can make the altar where you're at, or you can come to this place right here, and we're going to lay those things at the feet of Jesus. Amen? Amen. If you'll come now, and we're going to pray, and we're going to believe that God is going to deliver and set free and help us to have a walk of a champion this year. Amen.
Living Hope Assembly of God.